And it's time for a Capitol Call on a Friday. Joining us this morning is Senator Julie Daniels, Representative Judge Strom, and Representative Daryl Fincher. How are you guys doing, and where are you guys at this morning?
Well, good morning, and just in case one of us forgets, because we're kind of scrambled brains down here meeting on a Friday, I want to thank Phillips 66 for sponsoring Capitol Call. I know we'll have at least one more with you after session is over. But we're gathered here in my office this morning. Senate goes into session at 9:30.
House goes into session at 9:30 as well.
And later this afternoon, I will have an appropriations-type meeting. So it's all hands on deck now that we have a budget agreed to.
Yeah, and talk to me a little bit about that budget agreement now that it's passed. How important is it, especially with the teacher pay raise, that you guys had the $1,200 pay raise?
It's a very important agreement, and I think one of the interesting things is because it takes three of us, the House, the Senate, and the Governor, to all agree, not everybody got everything that they wanted, but we all got the things that we believe were really important and critical at the top of our list, which is very helpful. One thing about the teacher pay raise is I was reading the appropriations bill today for people who are enjoy bills, it's House Bill 2765, and there in the very first section, it actually... you can read where it actually limits the funding for $58 million to the teacher pay raise. That's because the teacher pay raise does not kick in until September. So it's very important to be able to get that in and to be able to move forward with that to help retain our quality teachers that we have. Representative Strom?
I think it's an important number. The average of $1,220 average for every teacher in the state. And what it would do, and the reason we set it there, the reason it was set there is because that brought Oklahoma to number one in the region. And that was a very important number that we were all shooting for in order to attract teachers, to retain teachers here in the state, and really improve education. That was a number that we thought could really help the state in education. So we all kind of fought for it, and we were glad to see it happen.
And I'm kind of... Go ahead, Julie. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
From a Senate perspective, we had a four-item agenda that we adopted early in the year. And one of those items was to put more money in the classroom. Because during and after the walkout last year and in conversations weekly with teachers and superintendents this year, the push was to put more money into the classroom and not just teacher pay raises. So the Senate was never opposed to a teacher pay raise, but we wanted to make sure we put as much money as we could into the classroom. And we proposed $200 million. We didn't get all of that, as Representative Fincher said. We got enough that we were satisfied that we were meeting the target of our own agenda item. And then there was a piece of reform in there about the five-day, four-day school week, going to school at least 1,080 hours or 165 days. So we got that as well. So the Senate is very satisfied. And, you know, we had a little dust-up last week. But it is amazing to me that dust-up lasted, what, 24, 36 hours?
Yep,
and then we had a budget. So we were very, very close, and people are pretty happy in the building this morning.
Absolutely. We're all very happy that we did this. And as I said, I think everybody got the important things that we thought were absolutely critical. One thing is we did put $200 million aside for savings. And some people are saying, well, shouldn't we be spending that for to help with some of these cuts we've had in the past? And what really comes from that is that allows us, as we go into the future, if we do have a downturn, we don't have to make drastic cuts right then. We'll have a much better cushion to help us ride in temporary downturns that we have.
And that's really important because we are a commodity-based economy here in Oklahoma, and we've seen what can happen if the price of oil jumps or drops, and the same with the price of wheat and corn and every other thing that we kind of base our economy on. So to have that cushion is very important so that we don't come into a situation like we had last year where we're having to cut those agencies so drastically to make the bottom line everywhere else.
And Garrett, let me add to that. We're also going to get very close to topping out our rainy day fund. The $200 million is in addition to what goes into the rainy day fund. One of the bills that we passed out of appropriations yesterday is that once we reach that cap in the rainy day fund, which our economy will, chugging along as it is, we will do that fairly soon. Any extra money from the rainy day fund will flow back into general revenue. And that means that if there are any supplementary needs in the next fiscal year, we'll be able to address those as well. And just one other point, some people talk about it was the tax increases last year that generated all this revenue. A certain percentage, the treasurer will tell you, is generated by those tax increases, but it's less than 20%. The money that we are able to allocate this year is because our economy is roaring. And Representative Strom is correct. We're still commodity-based, but we have diversified this economy. So the plea for Oklahoma to do more to diversify the economy, that's being met. And, of course, we have a governor and a lieutenant governor who are focused on that. So I see even better days ahead. All in all, just a very good situation for our state to be in.
And how are you guys thinking that you guys will continue to diversify the economy like you were mentioning, Julie?
Well, one of those is aeronautics. They continue to expand that. And we did put some extra money into the governor's quick action closing fund, which if he needs to offer an incentive in the short term, something to seal a deal, there's some money available for that. But the other gentleman might be able to speak to other industries that we are courting.
Well, I'll throw something in there, and this is what I always keep in mind on this deal. We have a governor now that has traveled all over the United States doing business. I mean, he has worked, he has businesses all across the United States. He's traveled from state to state. The experience that he has, he can bring back to Oklahoma. He can go and talk to other business leaders. He can go and talk to other businesses in a term that they can understand and bring those people, do what he can to bring those people back to Oklahoma. And that'll get away from our commodity-based economy and really give more people the opportunity for jobs here in the state. Because really our income tax is what our number one as far as what drives this state, and to have diversification in there, to bring in aerospace, to bring in not only oil, but to bring in, you know, banking and insurance and finance and whatever we can do here at our city center to help the state, I mean, we'll take it.
And we also want to protect the current industries as well. For example, we passed some bills that because we do a lot of training for the Air Force and the military here for low-level flights, we've actually worked together in the past bills that protects their low-level training route. You won't see commercial airlines in there, but you'll see low-level training routes. And I was out at Tinker Air Force Base yesterday afternoon for a tour out there. They employ 30,000 people. And so keeping the military active and creating in Oklahoma, we want to be able to continue to do that as well. And then, of course, we have criminal justice reform. If one of you would like to tell about some of the things we've done on that.
Well, we're going to start addressing most of those bills in the Senate today. I've had the good fortune to see many of them come through the Judiciary Committee, so I've lived with them for several months now. We are going to fund another Senate agenda item, more fully fund diversion programs for mental health and substance abuse. I believe that is, I'm trying to look here, well, there are several programs that they're going to put money into. I think it was at least $10 million specifically into those. And, of course, we're trying to draw down the number of incarcerated folks so that as we free up beds in the prison, some of the space that's being used now to house prisoners can go back to being used for classrooms, because we are not doing a good job of rehabilitating offenders while they are incarcerated. We need to get back to that so that we can cut our recidivism rate. Now, there are going to be several bills that are rather contentious in the Senate today. The criminal justice reform people, and there are many of them, have been out here all session. We get some pushback from law enforcement. You get some pushback from district attorneys. So again, for me as an individual senator, it's about finding the balance. Do we do bail reform? Do we do resentencing? Do we revise the requirements before you can charge somebody with possession with intent to distribute drugs? What do we do about fines and fees? Do we waive them, give the judges more options to delay them? And what do you do about parole and supervision when somebody violates the terms of their parole or supervision? So those are all very thorny issues, but all of them do tie back to dollars in some form. So we're tackling those today. I don't know, Representative Fincher, if that's what you were aiming to talk about.
We were talking about that. We also, of course, passed a bill yesterday that dealt with expungement that goes back to State Question 780, because the people of Oklahoma said, we really want to you know, try to keep people out of prison and help those who are in there by reducing some crimes and misdemeanors. So if you were convicted under a crime of a felony and is now considered a misdemeanor, once you've completed your sentence, you can actually apply for total expungement from your record.
I want to point out, too, and this is kind of a side note on criminal justice, but it's important to me to always consider this. The more opportunities that we give Oklahomans to create for themselves, to get a job, to create the good life right here on the right side of the law, the more that we put into mental health, giving these people the help that they need before they turn to that lifestyle, the better that they will, the better opportunity they will have to not cross the line, to not live on that side of the law, to not enter into our criminal justice system. And I think that's really important kind of note to remember there.
And Garrett, also on that, thank you, Representative Strom, for helping me remember this. I authored with Representative Taylor in the House the Fresh Start Bill, so that people who have served their time, you know, repaid their debt to society, if they want to go out and train for a certain kind of job, this bill allows them to go to an agency or a board and say, hey, here's my criminal record. Are the nature of my offenses the kind that would absolutely preclude me from becoming an accountant, becoming an architect, becoming a cosmetologist, an electrician? What are the things that you as a board would see as red flags that would keep me from going into that profession? And then they don't waste time going and getting training for something that the nature of their offense would bar them from being able to be in that profession or that occupation. So it's called Fresh Start. It was part of the package that the governor signed on to, and just something about this. The governor came out with his package of criminal justice reform bills just about 3 weeks ago. Well, he didn't get those out of thin air. The representatives and I can tell you, we have seen those and other bills all session. What's wonderful about this governor and his staff is they had some catching up to do. They had to learn quickly about all these issues. And I got to be part of some group discussions with the House and the governor early on while he decided which of the criminal justice reform measures he was going to put as his priorities. So the legislature kind of helped the governor learn about those issues. And then, you know, he came out and he said, these are the ones we want to do, and we really appreciate him coalescing behind a certain number of measures that we're all going to be voting on here in the next 2 or 3 days.
Okay, is there anything else you'd like to mention about criminal justice reform before we maybe move on here just for a little bit? We have about 2 more minutes or so before we got to get going.
No, we'll go where you want to go, Garrett.
Out of curiosity, Strom, I know that you had a bill that passed too of the credit card skimmers. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I was glad to see it get signed by the governor and go into law. That'll be a great thing for the state of Oklahoma, I think. And hopefully it starts a movement really outside of the state and continues to grow, and we can really start to get some more shutting these credit card skimmers down and eliminating some of this fraud.
And I know that you said last week that it's kind of the first of its kind. Why do you think other states haven't, followed this kind of bill before?
Well, really, they tried to address the fraud. I think that, you know, this is really a new situation that we're in. This is something that's just began. I've got a graph in my office that shows, you know, that we've gone up from the first one in 2009 to there wasn't but 6 or 7 instances until 2012, and then they gathered up. The numbers went up to 2015 to something like 25 or 30 different instances. They could definitely put these back, and then in the next few years it just skyrocketed. So I think that we're getting ahead of the game here trying to catch this. I just don't think the instance was there yet, or people have dealt with them enough to really come and I guess really catch them and nip it in the bud, as I said on the floor.
Well, these things are just a lot more available and a whole lot cheaper than they used to be, and it doesn't require much skill to use them anymore.
No.
Okay,
so,
is there anything?
Real quick, while we do have you, I just want to say this week the budget has by far been the elephant in the room, and it's exciting to, I mean, I don't think any of us can wait to get home and really discuss it with more people, but, you know, we've made advances in health care. We've been able to increase provider rates. We've been able to fully fund the 8-year highway plan, as well as taking $30 million back to our county roads and bridges this year. As far as agriculture, we've been able to add additional money for state veterinarians and over $1 million in additional resources for rural fire departments. There's a lot of exciting things in this budget that I'm just really proud to have been a part of.
Garrett, on that same line, my Facebook page, Senator Julie Daniels. I'm posting all the graphics on the budget being generated from the Senate. There's a lot here that we could talk about today. I know people are focused on education, but there are many things happening in other areas of government that we were able to address. So if you go to Senator Julie Daniels' Facebook page, read the graphics, and you might get some more information there.
All right. Well, Senator Daniels, Representative Strom, and Representative Fincher, thank you so much for joining us for a Capitol Call this morning.
You have a great day in Bartlesville.
Yes, thank you, and thank you, Phillips 66.